That's as beautiful as Miss Shalice is beautiful. Amen, Brother Cole?
Amen.
Amen. I told somebody, said, he sounded more and more like a Texan all along, didn't he? Well, he should be. He is one. It has been a couple of weeks since we've been with you, and I'm grateful for the events of that time. I am, Brother Colin, I am. I'm grateful, of course, for the church and those who continued on in our absence, as it should be. As it should be. The good men, of course, he covered the pulpit needs. Thank you. Good job, by the way. As you know, we stood on the mountain, and Miss Dory and I gave our daughter to Brother Colin in holy matrimony. Don't say amen quite yet, you know. Now, you might have thought it had been a little bit easier having done this two other times, but it wasn't. No, no. I tried my best to keep it together because others were not. So it was a bit tense in my heart, to say the least, giving my daughter away to another man. Good members asked me before we left, are you excited, preacher? No. So mixed feelings abounded, you know. Well, I needed something to help release that tension, you know. Need a little something to help release that tension. You say, well, preacher, what did you do? Well, I did what some preachers wouldn't do. But that's okay. That's okay. I rented a bike. No, not one you pedal. A mountain hike had already taken care of that. 10 miles uphill, up the mountain both ways. A bike that you do this and it goes. And we went on some rides. I mean some rides. The $1 million highway, we went on that ride. All the way down to Durango, Colorado. And back, which is supposed to be one of the most dangerous roads in all of the United States of America. Then we went, of course, down 141, 154, 145, I think it is, all through those canyons out to the west of there, beautiful Grand Junction to Ridgeway, through all those canyons, and did that twice. World-class rides of a lifetime. On many, many bucket lists all around, not only in the United States, all around the world, on bucket lists. There are very few guardrails on the $1 million highway, and it's way up yonder. And sometimes all you have between you and the Lord is that white line. And sometimes not even the white line is even there. And it's a drop off right into eternity. I kid you not. Go online, see it for yourself. The elevation was something also. You get so high and you're up above 10,000, 11,000 feet. I'm a Florida boy. 10,000, 11,000 feet, we never saw that. Now this area is known as, of course, the Swiss Alps of America. But I found it hard to breathe as soon as I hit Santa Fe, New Mexico. I was already looking for a hot taco, some spices to liven up something, to get something moving, and where I could breathe a little bit. But I did find it a little bit easier to breathe running about 70 miles an hour with that wind blowing in my face, getting that oxygen mask going, you know, from that bike ride. And then I found I could breathe quite a bit better with that wind blowing in my face. So I let her go, boys. I let her go. I told you, I do some things some preachers just wouldn't do. And that's all right. It was a bit intimidating, I tell you, with those major switchbacks way up high on those mountain passes. And the fact that one mistake would end your life. For good. Would end your life. So I ran a little bit cautious, you know. After all, I had my girlfriend on the back, you know. My wife. She's still my girlfriend. So I ran pretty cautious the first time. But by the second pass, I told Brother James and Miss Sherry, when I made those corners, I was picking up dirt in both pockets. Well, it's Sunday, and you're not supposed to lie in church, so I embellished. just a little bit on my part. It was only on the right-hand turns that I picked up dirt in my pockets. You know, I'm much better at turning right in life than I am turning left. You know what I'm saying? Come on, you men. You know what I'm saying? I'm a lot better turning right in life. Conservative is a good word. And making right turns than left turns. Who wants to turn left, you know? Now take your Bibles, if you would, to 3 John, the book of 3 John. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And it's a good morning. As you know, as pastor of New Heights Baptist Church, this is our first time that Dory and I will do ministry at New Heights Baptist Church as pastor without children in our home. Now, it may not mean a whole lot to you, but it means a whole lot to us, boy. Boy, howdy, I tell you, it does. And so we are beginning a new journey. A new journey. Together with just the two of us. Pray for Miss Dory. On the way home, we decided to take a little bit of a different route and stop off at Dodge City. I wanted to pay a visit to the marshal, you know. And see old Boot Heel in the town of Lawman like Bat Masterson's and Wyatt Earp. Real American heroes. You know what they told me in that town? They told me that Matt Dillon was never the law in Dodge City. Well, I know that's not true. I pray today you'll not be as one buried there on Boot Hill as grave marker read this. Shot January 1873. He drank too much and loved unwisely. I hope that's not any members of New Heights Baptist Church you get buried on Boot Hill. But we also found our way out to the area where you can still see the ruts of the big wagons on the prairie ground as they started their journey out that Santa Fe Trail. You ever read about that? The Santa Fe Trail. It goes all the way, of course, to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and it branched off and went over in Colorado as well in those big wagons. And we stood there on that same spot that many others, years gone by, started their journeys. Starting our journey now without children in our home. Hey, I did it on purpose. And we stopped there and we held hands. We do still do that on occasion, you know. We held hands and we prayed and asked God to bless our new journey. Amen. Much is on the line. Much is on the line. All right, now to the book. There's only one chapter, and it's not that long. But that's no guarantee that this sermon will not be very long. All right, fair enough. That all right with you? All right, anybody got a pressing engagement? No, I heard no. Okay, so let's go. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now John, of course, the apostle is speaking his blessings upon his friend, a servant of the Lord, a loyal Christian, a faithful church member, and says he wishes some things for this man. He prays for some good things to this man, which, by the way, for him that would also include his family, would it not? Include his family. He says that thou, which is singular, King James, when it starts with a T, it means singularity, means single. Ye is plural. So it's singular and it's exclusive that Gaius may prosper. Now certainly financial prosperity would be within the scope of that, would it not? I said, would it not? What about influence? That he would have a godly influence among others. I mean, you do want the good people to rub off on the not so good people. That would be in the scope of his blessing. What about spiritual expansion of his life? I think that certainly would be in the scope of that as well. What about ministry increase? That his borders would be increased. His ministry would grow. and he would have a greater influence for the cause of Christ. I think that certainly would be in the scope of this blessing. Then he said, secondly, that you would be in good health. Good health. You know, health is underrated. Until you no longer have good health, it seems to me that those who realize the great blessing of good health are those who've lost it. You know, when you're young, you're strong. You know, you think nothing can take you down. And then things happen later on in life and you start getting a little long in tooth and a little gray. My wife, bless her heart, she loves me. She wants to be a Barnabas. She wants to be an encouragement to me. I got out of my pickup truck just this morning. She said, look at all that gray hair. You're getting so old. And I said, sweetheart, don't you want to look in the mirror before you offer some counsel to me? I got her back. See, I got her back. Tit for tat. That's what the Bible says. Tit for tat, by the way. It's in there somewhere. Still looking for it, but it's in there somewhere. Be in good health. He wanted his friend to have good health. Good health is a blessing. If you have great health, thank God for it. And let me tell you, if you have great health, man, you better be giving life all you got. Because there's going to come a time that you're not going to have such good health. Sooner or later, it's likely to come. The blessings, now he talked about one man, Gaius, and he said the blessings of the Lord are not for everyone. He's blessing this one man. And those blessings are not without any connectivity to his life and what's going on with his life. The blessings of God are for those who live right and live righteously before God. You can't live like a skunk and expect the blessings of God. You with me? You can't live like a skunk. The blessings of the Lord are available for each and every one of us. But they're exclusive to those who respond rightly to the Lord. Now the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John become more and more narrow in its audience as you go through. It's broad in the beginning, and second book is down to a church. And by the time you get to the third book, it's to one man in one church. And as you move forward, we see more and more focus on personal responsibility and personal blessing if we carry out that responsibility well. Now, he's not just any man. He's a good man. He's a faithful man. He's a righteous man. He is a triumphant man. And he's ministering among some turkeys. At least one big turkey. It's about coming up on Thanksgiving, so I just thought I'd throw in the word turkey just to get you warmed up to the idea. Now, that good man was to be commended. Gaius was to be commended. For he was committed to standing for the Lord and standing for what was right. And let me tell you, these days you better have a little bit more backbone to stand for what's right. And he's having to stand for what is right among those who will not stand for what is right. In every sizable church, you will find there are some winners and there are some frauds. I didn't say frogs. But you could throw that one in if you wanted to. There are winners who are responsive like Gaius, and then there are frauds. Both groups may look the same, but they are not the same. They are not the same. Now the way the Bible puts it, matter of fact, let me show it to you. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. The way the Bible puts this is speaking like in a great house. It's not talking about great as in a great spiritual house. It's talking about size. You know, in any sizable church, in a great house, is talking about you're going to find a contrast. Look at chapter 2, beginning of verse 20. Are you there, Miss Andrea? Your baby girl's here, so you better be on your toes. All right. But in a great house, see that in verse 20? But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. There are some saints and then there are some skunks. Vessels of gold, heavenly. Earthly, wood, earth. Some to honor, some to dishonor. There's your two different groups. There's your contrast that John talks about here. Well, as in Cain, with many words, with a wide, great house of abundance of words, there is also going to be found sin. Also going to be found sin. No shortage of sin. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. So in a sizable church, even house churches like this that were all sprinkled all around Ephesus, that great city of paganism, great city of paganism, we find it's wide enough to have people like Gaius and people who are not like him at all. In our text in 3 John, you will find that there are those of right and there are those of rot. Is that what it says? That's what it says. We're going to find out for ourselves. Now, here's the question. Which group are you in? Brother Garrett, good man that he is, down there in South Texas with his good dad and his family, and he said, preacher, be bold. So here it is. Which group are you in? Are you with the right group? Are you right with God? Are you part of the rot? Pretty fair question. I said, I think it's a pretty fair question. I think anybody that has a third grade education would misunderstand what I'm trying to ask. Are you right with God or are you in the rot in your spirit? Ian Corley, a young church planter and friend of Brother Colt, Miss Shalice, did a fine job on that song, by the way. He spoke last Sunday in Delta, Colorado. It's not near as pretty as we were at. About the manner of life that we exhibit. The Apostle Peter spoke as a warning about that. In 2 Peter 11, he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, and he's talking about future judgment, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy manner, all holy conversation and godliness? What manner of persons? What is your lifestyle? What is all the sum total of your life? What does it really look like? Your manner of life? Paul spoke about our manner of life. It should be becoming. It should be that which is honoring to the gospel of the Lord. In Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be your lifestyle. Be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I might hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, that you might that with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. What manner? What does your life teach? What does your life exhibit? What is the testimony of your life? What manner of life do you live in regard to your walk with the Lord? What manner of life do you live in relationship with your walk, with your family, with your walk, with your church? I didn't say a church, I said your church. What relationship, what manner of life do you have in relationship with your work associates, your community as a citizen? Are you committed to those things as you should be or not? If every member of your family was as committed to your family as you are, what type of family would that family be? Now, when we're talking about them, we're talking about you, talking about me. If every member of the church was as committed to the church as you are, what type of church would we have? Not time to pray. I can tell you, in fact, that there, with some, there'd be no church at all to come back to. Yet for others who understand the magnitude of what is at stake and in prospect, it'd be the brightest light in the city. Amen. Some members tip. They throw a little money that way. Some seek to tip the boat over. Not tip, just tip the boat over. Others climb on board, just enjoy the ride, man. But far fewer actually seek to get that boat going, man, up the river of God. Amen. But it's those people you can build on. And we've got a boatload of those people here. If every worker in your place of employment was just like you, what kind of workplace would that be? Would they still be afloat? They should be more than afloat. If every citizen were just like you, what kind of country would we have? I pray it'd be a fine country. Now, some have the pretense of doing right, but underneath the surface, they're wicked. It's all pretense. It's sort of like those Western towns, you know, that fake front? They got a fake front going on in their life. Some have a posture of doing wrong, and it's ugly, it's unrighteous, it's wicked. But some, praise be to God, have a position and practice of doing what is right, and it's their habit to do what is right. They've been doing right so long, they don't know anything else, just do right. Do right till the stars fall, do right till the last call. It is their manner of life, it is their custom. It is something that is a good habit of their life. It is their lifestyle of walking in the Lord in faith. It's their lifestyle. And it would be so weird to them to do anything different because they've been doing it for so long. They are the ones who are going the right way a long time. And they are the ones who find the true success in the Lord. Now, those who've served the Lord faithfully for many years have seen others come, and of those who come, you've seen some of them go. Seed falls in shallow ground, as well as others, being made warm from God's sun, springs up. But everybody gets excited about the new sprung up plant, sprung up flower. They get excited about it, only to see their hopes dashed again by the rugged stones of the earth, because after a short period of time, shallow souls, leaky vessels, unfaithful servants, disloyal disturbers are revealed. Sooner or later, be sure your sin will what? Find you out. It'll find you out. Take your Bibles, hold your place there now, put a finger there and go over to Matthew chapter 13. Because I want you to know there's also good soil made of good souls who receive the Word of God with meekness, ready to obey, ready to submit. Even if it hurts, they're ready to submit to God's Word, ready to surrender their will to the will of God as a faithful servant. And they produce more than all the others put together. They are the ones who produce in this spiritual realm. In Matthew 13, verse 3, and he spake many things unto them, a parable, saying, now from the Lord, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up. Well, they sprung up because of warm earth, man, they germinated like that, man, they took off. But what happened? The no deepness of earth. When the sun sprang up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Then he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, the contrast of what we just read is illustrated by three men, but really one and then two, you know, there, of course, in 3 John. Now, back to verse 3 in our text. John says, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified the truth that is in thee. Still talking about this individual man, Gaius. Even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity, thy love, thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth. And he's talking about other preachers, the missionaries that are traveling around, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church. So earlier I wrote to the whole church, not to you individually, but to the church. But here's our dog face. Here's our rot. But Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would. In other words, he won't receive them. He won't even allow anybody else to welcome them and help them, casting them out of the church, churching them. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. He says, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be unto thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. So here John the elder is writing to commend one servant, Gaius. He's writing to encourage him and commend him as servant of the Lord, and really to rebuke the other. To rebuke the other. Now his fatherly relationship with these believers puts him in a position to serve the Lord in this fashion, and he does so under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now some claim that John here is the overseer, he is the bishop, he is the dictator, okay, in that realm. He is the dictator of all of these churches, and he's in charge of all of these churches. And he set up an authority to do all of this, but I think not. Even the words don't even suggest that. Now, John certainly is a servant of the Lord, and as an apostle, he has authority. But these churches are established churches. They're house churches, but they're established churches. And so he's writing to them, and he's encouraging them, as he should, to do right. But they can choose to do wrong. And some do. I believe he has authority, but he's a servant of the Lord, seeking to help, direct, encourage these churches and individuals surrounding Ephesus in their spiritual walk with the Lord and in the Lord and churches and with one another. Now, many of them, as you can say, most of them were Jews, but not all. Now, Gaius is loved in the truth by John the elder. You see that in the first verse. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. And then why? Look at verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came. He's talking about not just other Christians, but he's talking about traveling Christians who are going about the work of God. Okay? When they came and testified the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Now he walks, we see number one, in the truth of God's word. Jesus is the way, the what? The truth. So he has accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He has accepted God's word as truth. You won't get very far at all spiritually until you come to settle up. The Bible is God's holy word. He has defended God's word as the truth. He's walking and talking and living according to the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. He would sing that song with great joy and enthusiasm. If the Bible says that he needs to have a certain relationship with his wife, he chooses to do that. If he was on the opposite side of the aisle and that would be her husband, she would choose to do that. You say, well, what about what he did? What about it? What about it? Jesus doesn't set up such conditions in life. The Bible says, give our time. He would do that. The Bible says, give our treasure. He would do that. The Bible says, give our talents. He would do that. The Bible says you ought to support missions and you ought to be a blessing to preachers. And he would do that. He's that type of man. The Bible says love other believers in the church. He does that. The Bible says live an authentic Christian life. He does that. He's not seeking to be a hypocrite, though we all fail. He's seeking to be the real Adam, the real McCoy. I've never met McCoy, but I hear he's a good fellow. Now, walking in the truth means abiding in the truth revealed in the Word of God, not living our life according to our own whims and ways. And we have a lot of people doing that these days. You've never heard so many people talking about something that has nothing to do with the Bible and claiming that's what the Bible has to say. You've never seen so many people. John then reflects well with these words in verse 4. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, may I stop here just long enough to agree with the many who have come to me and said, Preacher, God has blessed you, Pastor, with such a great family. Let me say this, but by the grace of God. But by the grace of God. I know human beings can disappoint. Boy, do I know that. As God is my witness, I know human beings can disappoint. But let me also say that I agree, and we are very thankful. All of our four children, Kaselyn, Courtney, Colt, and Kelsey, all are saved. All are involved in the Lord's work. All four are honorably married to fine Christians, all Baptists, all like faith, all believing salvation is the free gift from the Lord Jesus Christ for all who will believe. Every one of them are doing this freely. I don't pay them to come to church. I don't bribe them. I don't leverage them. They serve the Lord freely, all witness of the Lord's saving grace to others, God's goodness. All seek the salvation of others. All love their families. All love their mama, and most of the time they love me. In all seriousness, we know of the many heartaches some have experienced. And we don't look down our righteous nose, I'll tell you that. For but by the grace of God. Yet we know God has blessed us. We know. And I can say with John here, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. But this is not talking about biological children. This is talking about spiritual children. But they happen to be both. What else was Gaius commended for? Well, let's find out. Verse 5. Love thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. So number two, he receives and helps those of God who have given their lives in Christian service to the Lord. He's a blessing to others through his church. Number three, he gives ministers, even strangers that he hasn't met yet and is now meeting, new ministers coming to town, coming to church, every benefit of the doubt. Every benefit of the doubt. He has good wishes for each and every one of them. He believes in them until proven otherwise. Until proven otherwise. How many times do we turn the cheek? Well, forever. We give everyone who professes Christ the opportunities and blessings they should get, the honor in the house of God as they should get. Do all deserve it in the end? No. But we should give it. We should give everyone the benefit of the doubt. We should give everyone that loving hand of Christ and the hope to do well and do right. You say, what if they don't? Well, many don't. But that's on them. I said, that's on them. That's not on me. It would be me if I was to act like this other guy. But not if I'm going to act like Gaius. He gave all the strangers the benefit of the doubt and blessed them accordingly, not being naive, but following the nature of the Lord. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. It's easy to become a skeptic in life and become so critical you're useless. You hear me? It's easy to become such a critic, so skeptical. You're skeptic about everything. Somebody says, sky's blue, said, I don't really know. Maybe the aliens just painted it that color for my benefit. Probably so. Number four, the things that he does for the Lord, he does them faithfully. He can be counted upon. He can be counted upon. You can build on somebody like that. He's the type of Christian man you can count on, not to do what he can't, but to do what he can. There's a difference. Sometimes the best of Christian people, they start to feel a false sense of guilt, thinking, I wish I could do that, but I just can't. Well, don't worry about what you can't do. Do what you can do. You don't feel guilty about what you can't do. Do what you can. The Bible says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Somebody says, well, you can put your weight on me. Why should I? You let me down the last time. So they had a preacher, young preacher boy one time, and he said, "Preacher, well, if you need me to fill in again, I'd be happy to do that for you." And I said, "Why? You bailed out the last minute the last time I asked you." Boy, he started sucking air and fell back behind me going to the Piggly Wiggly, you know. Well, we don't have Piggly Wigglies in our area. I think it was Albertsons or something years ago. Boy, he just fell back. Unfaithful. Can't be relied upon. He said, "Well, something come up." You think nothing ever comes up? Come on. You think nothing ever comes up in my life? I raised 4 children and 2 dogs that I tried to get rid of. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Number 5, Gaius. He does what he does out of love as witnessed by his fellow church members. He's not put out. Only if I have nothing else to do, then I'll serve the Lord. No. Let's face it, some Christians are so incredibly selfish. They've never learned to live a selfless life before the Lord. Selfless Christians enjoy the delights of God. And if you're selfish, I pray you'll turn. Number 6, he does not take the Lord's vocational ministers for granted, but seeks to bless them, help them in any way possible. He is looking for a way in, not a way out. But some are like leeches. They suck everything out of your body and they throw you away. That's what this other man is all about. Sucking the life out of everybody. Not only preachers, but all the members too. He's just sucking the life out of all of them. And he is dishonorably mentioned in verse 9. "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, casting them out of the church." So he obviously had the authority that even John didn't have in that church. Now he was using it all wrong, but there it is. Then he says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." So some indeed are like leeches, and they make everything sore. They make everything and everyone sore. Just a matter of time. At first you might think, they're just fine. Yeah, but you haven't seen their suckers yet. They're coming. They're going to get you, you know. They're going to get you. But others are like lotion to parched skin. Lotion. They make everything smooth. Thus, this very morn, I walked in. Yesterday, visitation. Yesterday, in the work day, I received the sweet lotion of God's children. That firm handshake by a good man. You with me? That firm handshake. Not a fish in your hand, a firm handshake by a man, a real man. Not one pretending to be a man, a real man. You with me? The tender touch and words of sweet women. The embrace of a sister. The hug around the legs from the little ones. Sweet lotion of love. Which are you? Are you like that leech? I can't wait. Suck you dry. Takers, takers, takers. I hate communism. And I hate socialism just about that much different than I hate communism. Because they teach to be a world of takers. Takers. Suckers. Suck the good out of every single thing and leave it dry in a barren land. I don't like it. You say, it's not a political rally. Well, I guess I just made it one. I love givers. And I am one, by the way. I don't believe you can lead from behind. Amen. I don't believe you can lead from behind. I want to be like this guy, Gaius. I'm not too crazy about his name, but I like him. It's a little bit too close. You know what I'm saying? But I like him. And so did the elder. So did John. And John commended him. And he says, bless you. Bless you. And I want you to know, all you Gaiuses, and you know who you are. You know who you are. Bless you. Thank you for being who you are. Being who you are, even when I or the Lord or anybody else doesn't see. Thank you for being who you are. But if you're like this other guy, and you're a fraud, you don't have to be a fraud when you leave here. You can be once again true blue unto the Lord this very minute. All you've got to do is say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I've been so wrong. And I want to be so right. That's all you have to do. Listen, that's all you have to do. God will do all the rest. He'll take your little bit and my little bit, and He'll turn it into something beyond your wildest imagination. If you'll just have the faith, just take that little step. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. That's all you've got to do. The Lord will take it the rest of the way, and then some. And then some. God help us to make right decisions, because your eternity depends upon it. Let's stand for prayer.